Hello, welcome to the FPS Podcast Series. This is podcast number 2, the CARES Act and OTAs. My name is Todd Hannaferly, and I'm the Director of Programming for Federal Publication Seminars, lead a provider of government contract training and professional development for the past 60 years. Every year, Federal Publication Seminars trains thousands of businesses, federal agencies, and individuals on legal, regulatory, compliance, and accounting nuances found in the federal regulations through nationwide classrooms, online, and both and in-house sessions. These podcasts are just really a small sampling of our important content you will get from our contracting professionals when you attend one of our FPS programs. Whether it's in person or online, live or on demand, you cannot find another source with the breadth and depth of experience, knowledge, and content anywhere. Please visit us at fedpubsseminars.com for more information. Joining me today is Joanna Reed, who is of counsel at McMahon, Welch, and Learned, a DC-based government contracts law firm. Joanna has consulted with hundreds of contractors in just about every aspect of federal contracting. She's also a classroom instructor for federal publications, teaching courses such as A Contractor's Guide to OTAs and Organizational Conflicts of Interest, as well as in cybersecurity and data right courses. Today's topic is really based on a recent legislation in response to the COVID-19 virus. And within the CARES Act, it has two areas where the OTAs were impacted, one related to public health services and the other within the DOD. Joanna, thanks for joining me today. And let's talk a little bit about the OTA impacts and what this all means for contractors.
Todd, thank you. Basically, what it means for contractors is, as you indicated, there's been two areas that the CARES Act impacted. One is public health service, and that one was actually a fairly minor change to the legislation. What they did was they removed some of the requirements that a contractor must go through what the government must go through in order to get approval to issue an OTA. However, it didn't expand the original authority that the organization called Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, otherwise known as BARDA, and what they could actually do. And what they can do under an OTA is advanced research and development, and it has to be something related to a qualified countermeasure or qualified pandemic or epidemic product, which they already have. But this is still limited to research and development. Some of the other activities that they can do are testing of the product to see if it may be approved, cleared, or licensed. So, as we're seeing a lot of companies come out with potential cures, potentially new products for ventilators or new kinds of masks or new drugs to potentially stop the spread, all of that stuff can be issued now. The government can issue another transaction to do the testing. They can also issue money for the design and development of the test. They can provide funds to facilitate the manufacture of the product on a commercial scale. They can do things to improve the shelf life of the product or technologies for administering the product. And then any of the other activities, such as advanced stages of testing, refinement, improvement, or preparation of the product for such use that is specified by the secretary. This is still basically a research and development. It's not the purchase of goods. Unlike this particular one, the DOD clause actually is different. But the Department of Health and Services, what they did was they changed one area that dealt with the approvals in the 23 section 319L C5A little 2, which is at 42 U.S.C. 247D-7EC5AII, was to actually remove the clause that came to be separated out into two clauses. So the original language says limitations on authority in general to the maximum extent practical, competitive procedures shall be used when entering into a transaction to carry out projects under this section. There was a second section under limitations of authority that said written determinations required. The authority of this subparagraph may be exercised for a project that is expected to cost the Department of Health and Human Services in excess of $100 million only upon written determination by the Assistant Secretary for Financial Resources that the use of such authority is essential to promoting the success of the project. The authority of the Assistant Secretary for Financial Resources under this subclause may not be delegated. And what the CARES Act did, with no time limit or anything else, it simply removed the requirement for written determinations and renumbered the clause. Mm-hmm. No expansion of anything else. Unlike that, if you go to the DOD clauses and the change that came out of the DOD, there are other transaction authority for prototypes, which basically means they can actually fund a company to make a prototype, and that they can then get manufacturing of that prototype also under the other transaction authority. What section 13006, which by the way is not in the table of contents and is toward the bottom of the legislation, basically it changed who has to approve and the dollar threshold. But it's anybody under DOD that currently had other transaction authority, the authority to issue an OTA or other transaction agreement, it changed the threshold. And what it did was it increased the thresholds under which anyone could, at any given point in time, any government agency could have their thresholds in place. Secretary Lord very quickly responded to this, and as a result, the thresholds were all increased. On April 5th, 2020, in response to the CARES Act being approved and issued into law, Secretary Lord issued a memorandum to all of the secretaries of the military departments, the commanders of the combatant commands, directors of the defense agencies, directors of the DOD field activities, and director of the Defense Innovation Unit. And basically what this did is it identified the approval authority as set forth in the components to execute other transactions for prototype project agreements under 10 U.S.C. section 2371B. It increased the authority of the different organizations. So for another transaction for prototype project agreements and any follow-on production contract or OT in excess of $100 million, the director of the defense agencies or the field activities with contracting authorities, commanding officers of combatant units with contracting authority, and the director of the Defense Innovation Unit may approve those. If the other transaction for prototype project agreement or any follow-on production contract in excess of $500 million, it can be delegated to the senior procurement executives of the military departments, the director of the defense of DARPA, the director of the Missile Defense Agency, MDA, and the authority to approve other prototypes exceeding $100 million but not exceeding $500 million may be delegated from the senior procurement executive or the director to such officials as the senior procurement executive or the director see fit in accordance with Section 1306 of the CARES Act. One of the other things that the CARES Act did is it removed the 30-day advance notification to Congress, congressional committees, for transactions in excess of $500 million related to the national emergency for COVID-19. It requires instead that the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering or the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment submit the notification as soon as practicable after the commencement of such a transaction. And the responsibility for making the notification has been designated to the senior procurement official of the military department, director of DARPA, or director of MDA. It is a limited extension, and it's only going to be in effect until the COVID-19 National Emergency Declaration is rescinded. This, as I said, is the Public Health Service, which was not restricted by time.
Right.
However, so far, this due expanded authority has not resulted in any contracts that I'm aware of. And the reason for that is, even though there is a lot of things that need to be done, because other transaction agreements are such a different animal from a traditional FAR-based contract, more likely than not, the only organizations that are going to be issuing the OTAs are the ones that have been issuing them over the last few years. Even if they're supporting other organizations, it's still probably going to come through the main primary organizations that's been doing OTAs. The other thing, too, is even though this is trying to get potentially higher dollar thresholds and the approvals and everything else, which should expedite the approval process, it doesn't remove the requirements that someone still has to come up with some sort of statement of work. Companies still are going to have to submit some proposals, and there's going to still have to be work that comes up to the point at which normally it would have to start going through some of the approval processes. Something we should be keep following. And yes. I would expect if they're going to take advantage of this, you're not going to see too much of it until probably in the late May to early June timeframe. And if, in fact, the National Emergency Declaration is rescinded, there is a good potential, at least on the DOD side, that you won't actually see any of this come to fruition because of a timing matter.
So the real winner for this is anybody that works with more so on the BARDA, on the national public health side, than is for the DOD, just for a fact of the timing and also having BARDA basically have no time limit on it at this point, and rescinding some of that, it makes it a lot easier for them to do business with BARDA.
Yes and no. I mean, the dollar threshold, it removed approvals for some pretty significantly high dollar thresholds. And while I've not dealt a lot with BARDA or really at all, I don't know that there's been that much money there to issue those high level dollar thresholds. So yeah, on paper, sure, it looks like that's a true statement. But $100 million on research and going over $100 million on research, that's a lot of money. And I did not see where in the CARES Act that they specifically allocated more money, quite frankly, to either DOD for other transaction agreements or to BARDA to do this.
Okay, that makes sense. So if you are a contractor out there and you're looking at this as OTAs, is it something you should be pursuing, or is it something maybe you should need to take a look at and say, well, it's great to know, but it's not that big of a deal for us?
I think it is something that non-traditional government contractors should very much be looking at. There is clearly money here. I mean, this is a $2 billion project. There was a lot of money put out that is not specifically earmarked for anything. And if you're especially on the side of you're a pharmaceutical company and you now need to turn your efforts toward getting some drugs through trials quickly, this is a source of money for that. And you don't have to come up with it out of your pocket. On the DOD side, because they could very quite frankly find a commercial company that, say, is turning their research over to trying to find a ventilator. I mean, I think we've heard that Ford is making ventilators on their auto production lines, one of them. So that's the kind of thing. So the effort to come up with the manufacturing process, say by Ford, for example, is that they can get money from DOD to make that transition under the prototype authority, provide prototypes. There's no limit on what prototypes. The government then checks those out, make sure they work, and then they're able to go straight into production. And even though you still have to have commercial, you still have to have some competition. The reality is that they could put this out as a broad agency announcement, which is more than sufficient according to GAO and the Court of Federal Claims to account for competition. And Ford or any other manufacturing company that now wants to turn to creating ventilators. Now, sure, I'm not a scientist, but I'm reasonably certain that a company that can do mechanical building of stuff, can go on to the patent office, find out whatever patents are out there. The federal government can grant the right for the company to violate the patent under, it's a FAR provision, but it could be easily applied to an OTA. and they can now make the ventilators, and they could do it. And because it's the first time they're doing it, for them it's going to be a prototype no matter what. So it would
right.
come into the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could actually have the testing. A smart company might want to go to BARDA and do testing underneath, get money from there to do testing of the ventilator, and then turn around and actually build the prototypes and have that even come under DOD. And that would be perfectly legitimate. But it's how do you get out to those people so they know that they can do that? And that's probably the toughest part of this. And it's a tough situation that the federal government has every day. If
right.
they've got the money, they have the need, the money is specifically earmarked to try and get more non-traditional defense contractors involved. And it's just, how do you get to them?
Well, that is fascinating. Thank you for some of that explanation of what's going within the this whole CARES Act and what we should look for. Any last words you want to say, our contractor friends out there?
Remember, if you are someone who's used to working with a FAR, other transaction agreements are not FAR-based. So you need to make sure that you include whatever clauses you need that you would normally want to have in a contract in which you're doing research and development. One of the other things in all of this that's going to be very important is to pay very, very close attention to the intellectual property rights, who has the rights, how they're being executed, and if you want to retain those rights, make sure that your clauses recognize that. And of course, consult counsel.
Yes, always good advice, consult counsel on this. Joanna, speaking of which, how could listeners get a hold of you if they have any questions regarding all this or anything else?
I can be reached at JREED@MWLLearned.com or MWLLegal.com, 2 L's. Or I can be reached at 703-344-8775. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Joanna. I appreciate your time. If you have any topics you want us to cover in a podcast, please send me a note at todd@fedpubseminars.com. Until next time, stay safe, keep your distance, and read the FAR.
Not for OTAs.